Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Junk Time Alpha Podcast for round 18, 2023. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who wants to get around Caroline Wilson and her incredible journalism. It is Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junk Timers. What a fantastic weekend of footy we've had. And you've got to give it to Caro. She is the newsbreaker. More than a week out from Stewie Jew's untimely demise, she called it. She said it was going to happen. And the people, the knives came out, and they just said, you know, she's a muckraker. She's a scaremonger. She's not a great journalist. Mark Robinson said he spoke to Stewie Jew, and Stewie Jew wasn't happy, mate. He said, you know, last year she said that Clarko was going to be coaching the Suns, and Clarko was going to be coaching Essendon, and she's wrong. Well, Stewie Jew, you'll have to eat that humble pie. Large one, second serving, because Caro was on the money, and she's always been on the money. That said that Wayne Carey loved his anti-inflammatories. No one believed her.
No, people called for her to be sacked. And then, lo and behold, one fateful evening at Adelaide Casino, it all came to happen.
Perth Casino, mate. Get your fucking casinos right.
Oh, shit. Jeez, sorry.
I'm gonna have to stop you there. You know, it was Caro that said that Ricky Nixon will become the face of vaccinations in Victoria.
Yep.
And people mocked her. People laughed at that suggestion.
People coughed in her face.
Yeah. And she was proven right. Ricky Nixon was a man who was providing vaccinations in the top room of a pub. Where else would you want to get vaccinated? But the top room at a pub. People said that Chad Fletcher had probably the strongest heart reading that they've ever seen. Uh-huh. And Caro said, oh, I don't want to hear that. Uh-huh. That man is so close to flatlining. It's unbelievable. And bingo, bango, Caro was right again.
Again. Another casino, I imagine, in Vegas. So it would be of a hotel room of a casino. So she, when it comes to casino matters, Caro is always on the ball.
She knows what's going to happen. She said, when people said that everyone wants to hear what Catman has got to say, Caro was the one that said, oh, if you delve a little deeply, I don't think that Catman is saying everything that people are allowed to hear at the footy. And what happens next? Catman quits the job.
And that's right. And then people actually put it to Caro, and they said, okay, well, you tell us what is Catman saying. And she said, if I told you, I think I would be contravening a number of human rights laws.
Yeah, exactly. When people said that the old bloke Kenny at the Swans would live forever, Caro said, I don't think that's possible. She called his death weeks before it happened. And,
she has,
you know,
a track
people got it wrong.
And a half, doesn't she? No wonder she is the first lady of football.
Yeah. And when she said, I'm hearing rumours that Alan Dydak is going to drive across the Balti with a bikie who's firing a gun out of the window, people said, Caro, you're a fool!
That is one from the past. Jeez, you dealt back to 2007 with that one, I think.
Caro knows her shit, mate. Time has no constraints on Caro.
Oh, God. That's amazing. That's amazing.
She knows her stuff, so
I remember seeing Caro in real life a few years ago.
And
she was just walking with her friends and, you know, doing like a fitness walk. And so they kind of had, you know, sports gear on.
Like a power walk.
Yeah, but it was very discombobulating to see her not in that football setting. Like, you kind of go, it's like, well, it was almost like seeing a teacher out of school.
Yes, yeah, I get it.
Seeing a teacher at the shops, and you kind of go, what? You do other stuff? Yeah, just took me a moment to just be like, oh, yeah, that's right. She's actually a person and not just
she's
the journo firing arrows.
Yes. Well, I mean, she's absolutely nailed it. So she said that Stewie Jew was in big trouble and she didn't think he'd last out the month. So that was 2 weeks ago. Then a week later, so, you know, Stewie Jew and everyone came out and were like, Stewie Jew has the full backing of the board. Yeah. And then on last Monday, she said, I'm rigid in this. And then the next day, Stewie Jew, Gonski.
It must be actually quite horrific to have, you know, like a Mark Evans come out and go, you know, it's not happening.
Yeah.
And then you get a knock on the door and it is from Mark Evans. And you just go, like, it really is kind of Godfather stuff, isn't it? Kind of like, you know, don't trust your friends. What is it? Keep your enemies, your friends close and your whatever. I don't know.
You love someone, your Godfather
films.
Someone
gets shot in the head in the end.
Yeah, you keep your friends close and your enemies closer. But I guess it's like a breakup, you know, when the person hasn't quite, you know, like they know. Yeah. All right, so, and I've been dumped many times. They know that they want to do it, but they want to find the right time to do it. Yeah. And if you say to them, hey, are we okay? And they're like, absolutely, we're okay. Yeah. You know, and then you think, oh, well, I'll plan that holiday for next year. And you shouldn't have planned that holiday because you were going to get dumped.
See,
I'm fine.
Just that story alone, though, like, has triggered, I reckon, every single one of our listeners, including myself. Like, you just kind of go, oh, boy. I mean, and we've been on both sides as well. Like, isn't the trick break up kind of at their place so you can leave? You know, don't do it at your place.
Oh, you've got a theory to it.
No, no. I remember Andy Lee said that on a podcast, on a live show a few years ago.
Yeah, right.
Because I think we were talking about Dale Thomas getting delisted and Soss came over to his place and Andy Lee was like, ah, yeah, it's the old breakup trick. Do it at their place so you can leave.
Oh, that is very smart. Yeah. So I wonder if they went round to Stewie's because I imagine they would have, like, you know, sucking him into it.
I read the article and Mark Evans went over to his house to give him the news.
Is that right? Yeah. And that would suck because they leave and then you're just there going, ah, now what do I fucking do?
Well, yeah. Like, well, I mean, he'll get paid out and all that kind of stuff, I imagine, but...
He will get paid out, but they had a clause in the contract, which kind of... it makes you wonder what contracts are worth. They said that they only had to pay him out $300,000 if they basically didn't go through with it. So it's a good payout. No one is, you know, sneezing at that. But also, it's, you signed for a year and a half. I want my year and a half's money. And I think that's why West Coast haven't sacked Adam Simpson yet, because his is watertight and he wants his... you know, $1 million per year contract that he's on, and West Coast can't get out of that.
Well, that strikes me then as maybe a fucked up, you know, manager did that where they put that clause in, because I think that's just like almost like a red flag to the club going like, well, actually it doesn't cost us that much if we actually get rid of him, you know?
Well, that's a coach with no power, isn't it? That's a coach who hasn't won anything and it's like, oh, yeah, I'll sign that, because you go,
I want the job.
Well, what are my options?
Yeah, sure. Poor Stu, yeah. So, yeah, you kind of sit there at home and you kind of go, well, I suppose I go in the next day and clean out my desk? Like, or do you go in that night?
No, I don't think they'd let him back in the building.
But what if you got photos of your kids and stuff on the desk and you got, you know, your face?
Yeah, they'll put it into a box and then they'll
leave it out the front
of Metricon Stadium for you to swing by and pick it up.
Oh, no, that's horrible. And they're not going to pack it nicely. You're going to find dents and stuff, you know, the football that he had is going to be a bit flat or punctured or...
Yeah, like his world's best coach mug would have been chipped.
Sure. There's a lot of jokes I want to make.
We're not doing that. We're better than that.
Well,
we are better than that. You know what would have been great, though, is if Stewie Jew, so you lose a job, and it would be hard... It would be, you'd feel embarrassed. Like, there would be an embarrassment to it. You know, when anything happens to you, like, you feel like the world is looking at you. He should have gone to the footy and just made a fucking goose of himself. Like, just behind the goals, you know, pulling the top up after a goal, you know, sculling beers.
Running out and doing the goal umpire sign with the goal
umpire. Yeah, just all that shit. And people go, and, you know, you go... All right, he's having a bit of a meltdown, but the guy just lost his job, so there's nothing you can really do about it. I'd make it all about me.
Get on the coverage, eat a whole watermelon. Like, that captivated the nation for 3 hours.
Just things like that. Just go, nah, fuck you. I'm not going out with dignity. I don't want to. I'm going to embarrass myself and the club for as long as I possibly can.
And you know what happens as well, like, when someone like that moves on, like, the... You know, you can think to yourself, oh, you know, they're going to miss me or whatever. But organisations move on very quickly.
Yes, a little too quickly too. It's so hurtful.
So a little bit like kind of you got to go, oh, yeah, they can never do it without me. And then find out very quickly. It's entirely possible to do it without anyone. It's like in this industry we work in, when people see people threaten to quit. Have you ever had that before?
Yeah.
People go like, if this happens again, I will resign. I remember some fucking low dog pulled that one on me one day. And I had to hold my entire energy back to just go, fucking leave now. I can't stand you. And you're horrible at your job.
Yeah.
Threaten to resign. What are you, you fucking idiot?
Also, too, the thing with Stewie, that you would quickly realise that you go, that's it. I'm never senior coaching again. Like, it's very, very rare that you get another crack. Like, obviously, Brett Ratton is one that you can think of top of the head who got another crack, even though he didn't have a lot of success at, Carlton. He took him to the finals, but not a hell of a lot of success there. But obviously, everyone loved what he did with Clarko.
Yep.
And so St Kilda, you know, saw him doing really well, you know, sitting beside Alan Richardson, and he got the gig when he was caretaker coach. Yeah. But it's not very often that you see a coach who wasn't successful come back again. Like, people talk about Don Pike, but you just kind of wonder whether he will get another crack at it.
Well, even if you look at Don Pike's CV, at least he got them to a grand final. Like, Stewie Jew, like, what is it, 5-6 years now, I think? It's kind of like...
6 years,
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, sheesh, mate, like, what are your highs, you know? Are we finished 12th 1 year? Like... don't know if that's going to come.
And at
now,
least,
sorry.
At least with Don Pike, you know that he's going to have an awful preseason camp ready to go for the new club that he comes into.
For sure, really, just to kind of, you know, shake things up a little, as someone
might
say.
Exactly. Really split the club down the middle, as all good coaches should.
But having said that, you know, you can go off and be an assistant coach and still make very, very good money. So it's not all over for sure in that regard.
No, it's not. It's not. And people, you know, obviously thought he had a good footy brain and they like what he had done. So he will. I imagine he'll walk straight back into work straight away. And you imagine that he worked alongside Clarko. So why wouldn't he go back? You know, he could work at North Melbourne. I'm sure Clarko would have him, you know, around him again.
So then obviously the jungle drums are beating and people immediately go Dimmer. And then I suppose people then will immediately go Bucks, I suppose.
Are they your favourite drums?
My jungle drums?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like them a lot, actually. They're very soothing.
Yeah, okay.
And they provide...
Yeah, okay.
It's weird. They provide a lot of information.
You can get a lot out of it.
Maybe that's Caro's trick. She just speaks the jungle drums.
She knows how to talk it. So, yeah, obviously, you would think that it is Damien Hardwick's to knock back first and foremost. I can't see why Bucks would go up there. He's just so happy here. He's a king of Melbourne. He's doing really well.
I think you're right, actually. I mean, he's not short of money. And do you need that stress, you know? And then also, you got to look at what are you working with. Like, can you actually see a time where you can get them to, just into the finals at this stage? You know what I mean?
I mean, that's, when you look at it, it's a pretty low bar that they've set because of, you know, the shit history that they've had. So if you finish eighth, you've done a fucking great job at the Gold Coast. Yeah. I would love that kind of fucking... I would love that in all of my work things. They go, mate, if you can be in the top half of what you're doing, that'd be fucking... That is my dream.
If you can just write a joke and people, like...
Titter.
Maybe give it a... Huh. That'd be better.
Yeah, and if you want to see that level of jokes, then we, of course, have our live show...
Our live
Sunday,
show.
September 3rd.
It's going to be amazing at the now named Morris House, formerly known as the European Beer Cafe, where we've had our live shows in the past. 4 p.m. Sunday, September 3. It's going to be classic, and all the guests, Adam, the guests we will have lined up. We've got some fires cooking, mate.
Oh yeah, we're on the jungle drums. We're fucking talking to people. The phones are running hot at the moment, Junk Timers, as we try to get our guests for the show, but they are all amazing.
Yeah, the guests are always amazing, so don't worry about it.
Yes, you know, we're going to deliver. So tickets are available at trybooking.com and it's going to be a fun afternoon, get there.
It's going to be sick. Now,
huge weekend of footy.
It actually was massive, and there were some really cracking games. Can we talk about the most important game of all, the Baggers and Port Adelaide? Holy shit, man. Are you freaking out?
We'd like a proper test, you know. I mean, Port Adelaide are just second. They'd only won 14 in a row. Give us Collingwood in a couple of weeks, you know, to really fucking test it. It was fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
I went. It was at Marvel Stadium. How's this? I go to a pub. I thought I'll go to a pub in the city on my way through, get something. I had my eye on a steak.
Ah, yeah, cool.
Right, so I thought I don't want to eat at the footy. I'll go in a little bit early. I'll take a book. I'll read that, and I'll head into the footy, have a beer, have a steak. I get there at like 3 to this pub, and I sit down, grab the beer, walk over, grab the menu, sort of have a look through the menu, go, yeah, that's the steak I want. I walk over there. It was about 3:04, and the woman goes, oh, sorry, kitchen closed at 3. And I was fucking joint.
You motherfucker.
So it is called Mitre Tavern, right? It's, I think, one of Australia's, one of Melbourne's, I think maybe Melbourne's oldest pub.
What I noticed
in there, being one of the oldest pubs, it's all very wooden. And what I noticed is it's clearly also one of Melbourne's most flammable pubs. So those motherfuckers are going to pay a price for not serving me my meal at 3:04 when the kitchen shut at 3. Seriously, do you not know who I am?
There's an old story about Kerry Packer, and I think he might have been in Vegas. Maybe not sure on that. But he went to a diner. They knocked on the door, him and his posse. And the diner guy was like, sorry, we're shut. So they go to the next diner, and the guy's going, we're about to shut, but I'll open up for you. What do you want? So at the end of the meal, Kerry wrote out a check for like $20,000 or something, gave it to the guy. Said, before you cash it, I want you to go down to the diner down the road. Shot to that guy. I mean, who knows if that's true, but it's a lovely story. Well, not a lovely story, but it's a sums up, man.
I didn't do that. All I did was when I was at the urinal, just turn around and piss on the floor. So
yeah, sure.
Fuck
sure.
Those guys. Sure, you know, I showed them.
That's a good luck charm for you most of the time. So, hey,
so I didn't get my steak. So I had to deal with the chicken and chips at the footy, which fucking it let me down. But then the Blue Baggers came to the party and absolutely dominated Port Adelaide. Mm-hmm. It was a great win.
Yeah, sure. Going into the game, what were you thinking?
Look, I thought if we played the way we had over the last few weeks that we were going to be at least competitive. I didn't think we'd win just because we're Carlton and we don't beat top 8 teams. And then Harry Mackay went down within like the first 15 minutes. So you're kind of like, but early on, it was like 2-4 to nothing. And you just kind of like, and then you're thinking there, you're like, oh, fuck, have we blown our chances? Should we have got 4-2?
Yeah, sure.
But then we were just very fucking good, Michael. God damn, you don't want to, if Carlton make the 8, you don't want to fucking face us in the first week of finals.
You don't need to worry about Harry. He has bone bruising, so it's nothing serious, so that's okay. He'll be out for a few
weeks.
Oh, that's
good.
But, now, a friend brought up before, weren't we talking about Michael Voss being sacked a month ago? Like, it shows how fickle the whole industry is. Like, you know, they're kind of looking for the next head to chop off, aren't they?
Mate, that is fickle of you to say this industry is fickle. I think they backed Vossi in to a T. You know what was really good, though? The old Carlton would have panicked and blinked and gone like, oh, fuck, maybe we do need to get him. Let's see if Mick Malthouse is ready to go again, you know.
Yeah.
But Brian Cook, who they got from Geelong and, you know, was formerly at West Coast back in the day, he's just calm. He's just like, nah, we're not doing that. And everyone went, okay.
Yeah, cool.
So that was a great win, and it was an 8 shaper, Michael, and there's quite a few 8 shapers over the weekend. The Western Bulldogs in Sydney kicking off Thursday night. Fuck, that was a ripping game.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But heck, man, the next night, Melbourne and the Brisbane, that was fucking off the charts. And also by the fact, I kind of didn't get to watch the whole thing, I mean, they just kind of watched the highlights. And I think it's like with 7 minutes to go, like they're still like 4 goals down.
I reckon it was less than that. They absolutely turned it on. That Jack Viney goal where he ripped the ball out of Oscar McInerney's hands was one of the I think that should be goal of the year.
Yeah. That was amazing. Yeah, that was incredible. Now, I don't know if this is 100% sure, but I saw on Twitter, Broden Kelly, friend of the show from Arnie Donna.
Oh, yes. I was going to bring that up.
I'd have to actually text him and find out for sure. Actually, let me do this mid-show and see if he gets back to me. He might not be in the country, but I'll find out. But tell us.
So what he did, Junk Timers, was he posted a photo, which is very funny, of him looking despondent at what I assume is Jolimont Station, saying, I left early. And obviously they slammed on, you know, 4 goals in 5 minutes, and he would have heard one roar and just been like, oh, I think that was for us. Then when you hear the second roar and you're like 600 metres away, you're like, should I go back? Nah, that can't be. we still can't win it. And then when you're on the train and you're like looking at your phone going, oh, I have missed one of the greatest fucking comebacks of all time.
I have done a leave early and go back.
Have you?
I think it might have been a Princess Park game. So back in the 90s, I reckon. So listening to the radio on the way, life going, yeah, stuff this shit. And then leaving, probably maybe, I don't know, halfway through last. And then going, getting kind of 2 or 3 minutes from the stadium. And then going, nah, I think I better go back, actually. And we ended up losing. And so it was not worth it. But
oh, okay. Yeah, that's so fucking
it was not a brilliant, beautiful story. Like most of them usually are.
Fellow comedian Matthew Hardy, who does the football podcast Saturday Afternoon Fever with Lawrence Mooney, which is worth checking out. But his dad, famously, they were at the Underarm game.
Oh, yeah.
At the MCG in 81. And the dad made them leave early so they could beat the traffic to get back to Glen Waverley. Well, and missed probably one of the greatest moments of cricket history.
The only other kind of real story I've heard about that is I think apparently Carlton left the Hawthorn-Melbourne prelim early in 87 when Buccaneer kicked the goal. I imagine that would probably be to beat the traffic because I actually feel like they might have been sitting near me. So like 25 of them or whatever. And then apparently got in the bus and were like, oh, actually we're playing Hawthorn tomorrow or next week.
But I guess they'd seen enough to know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I did. It had little to no effect on the result the next week.
But talking more about the eight, so Freo were fucking done and dusted. So Collingwood banging on 10 goals in the second quarter. Fuck, they are good to watch.
Yeah, I know.
God, it hurts to say that.
I know. It's, I think the football industry like and fans are just like really kind of tormenting a little bit. It's a little bit like in a movie where like the really like it's a bit like when Darth Vader. Oh, here we go. You won't get this reference.
Darth Vader.
It's a bit like Darth Vader at the end of Return of the Jedi. It's like Luke and Darth have a lightsaber fight, and Luke wins, essentially. And then
Whoa.
This is 1983, man.
Mate, I left the cinema because I thought he was going to lose, and then I came back.
And then Darth is in bad shape, essentially, because that's what happens when you fall into a volcano. It's not a quick injury to heal. And,
okay.
And he takes off the mask and Darth dies. But at the end of the film, you're kind of like, oh, Darth actually wasn't a bad guy, you know? And so it's a bit like that. Collingwood have kind of are the Darth Vader at the end of Return of the Jedi. I think that's actually a fucking talking point for the media. Collingwood are Darth Vader at the end of Return of the Jedi. I want Caro to spread that stuff. I want it to show up on Twitter. Yeah.
No, definitely make them use a reference from 40 years ago. That is exactly. And you know what? I have seen Return of the Jedi, but I was a child at the time, and that was the last time I am legally allowed to watch it.
I was young enough that I went with my aunt and my brother and sister. And I was young enough that I didn't know how to read, and so my aunt had to whisper.
16. Yeah.
You've got me.
Tickets to the live show, trybooking.com.
Oh, get your tickets to trybooking, guys. But my aunt had to read me Jabba's subtitles.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, that would have been annoying.
Yeah, actually, it's funny. I went to see Indiana Jones yesterday. Now, is that one you've watched? That's not really a kid's film.
I had not watched it, but I watched Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, I think it was. No, Raiders of the Lost Ark, because I did Pete Hellier's podcast where he gets people on who've never seen like a really big film.
Yeah, sure. Gotcha.
So I watched it.
I went to the new Indiana yesterday. And
With did you have your nephews with you?
No, actually, it was with cousins and my mum and dad. They're up in.
So, with how old are the cousins?
Between kind of 60 and 50.
So, not children?
No, not children. It's not. I wouldn't classify Indiana as a kid's film.
Wouldn't you?
No.
Okay.
Like, it gets pretty full on. Like, they rip a heart out of a bloke in the second one.
Kids love that shit.
But I remember the first one. There's a scene, again, spoiler, where the Nazis, a bad guy, one of your mates probably your relative, probably a true story.
You're not going to bag the Nazis again, eh?
Gets caught up in a propeller on a plane. And it's a fight scene. And before that scene happened, like, or when it was about to happen, Mum had seen the film before. And she put her hand over my eyes. And the worst thing that happens is like there's some blood splatter on the window.
Yeah, yeah.
But she had a little gap in her fingers. And so I was just like,
so Michael saw it.
Yeah, because I was also thinking, like, I'm just gonna let her think I can't see anything because there's clearly a gap in the fingers, and something awesome is about to fucking happen.
Yeah, and you have hated Nazis ever since.
Oh, that's made me realise that, you know, there's some bad folk there, mate. Hey, we've got eight shapers next week though as well.
Well, just one more eight shaper that we can talk about. So, actually a couple more, really. Geelong fucking destroyed Essendon. So
yeah.
Essendon were absolutely rolling. Fuck, why are they so different down at Geelong? What happens that they go, you know what, that 3-minute drive we have to the ground just makes us so much more relaxed?
I think it's the experience of playing in front of a stadium that's 75% under construction at all times for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
But actually, the Bombers would have been hurting about that one, particularly the Bomber supporters, because they're getting very yappy.
They are, aren't they?
Yeah, and so to have their pants pulled down by the Cats was actually quite fun, because they were starting to kind of believe in never, I must say.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I saw a post today, and I don't know whether this happens when the ground is not under construction, but it seemed to indicate that it was. But the Essendon cheer squad were out on like the opposition half forward, like the opposite side to the broadcast half forward flank. They don't put them behind the goals.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
They're just a bit like, hey, here's your fucking spot and you're not going to affect anyone kicking the goals at our home ground. And that's, you know what? I fucking love that there's a Victorian team who has an actual home ground advantage.
Yep.
I think it's great.
Yep. And actually imagine that's probably like with the Geelong members and, you know, it's a smaller stadium, therefore they would have reserve seats and stuff like that. So I imagine maybe they kind of put the members before other clubs by the fact they go, well, these are prime seats. Like, we're going to look after our members before we look after the hoi polloi from Windy Hill.
Well, I guess too, it would be, like you say, there's a limited amount of seats. So you would almost, I imagine there's not a lot of general admission tickets. And you would need someone to die like in a threshing machine or, you know, being run over by a combine harvester before you can get,
you know, go too hard at Lammy's kind of members ticket. And then eight shaper again, Adelaide and the Giants, and I think Adelaide dropped down about three spots if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but they were in the eight last week, I think. So they
Giants
have really
a little bit from nowhere, actually,
haven't they? They've been really good this last, like, I think they've won five in a row now, the Giants, so they are absolutely flying.
So we've got eight shapers next week. We've got Bombers and Dogs again. So that's seven and eight. And then we have the fucking blockbuster, Bears and Cats at Bears. So that's going to be fucking
That'd
massive.
Be great.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. What's that? The perfect time, primetime time of 4:35 on Saturday. I think the AFL would like to have this round back again.
You think so. But then you got the blockbuster on Saturday night of Port Adelaide versus Collingwood.
Over there too, the home of the footbridge. That's going to be fucking nuts. And that, I mean, that clearly would have been sold out for weeks, I reckon.
If I was Port Adelaide, I would just risk whatever fine it's going to cost you. Now, it's a sold out game, so you know you're making a lot. Wear the fucking prison bars. Just do it.
Oh,
just
don't even ask. Oh, just run out on the ground in the prison bars. And I mean, there'd be a slight clash with the jumpers, but
look, you've got to look for the shorts and maybe the, you know.
That'd be fucking
know your
magical.
Players' faces, but yeah.
Koshy, come on, mate. You got time on your hands now, mate. Come
Make
on.
It happen.
Come on. And then we have Melbourne, Adelaide, eight shaper.
Well, Gold Coast and GWS are playing. So if either of those two teams lose, you imagine that is the end of the season. Because the Suns beating St Kilda yesterday sort of kept them alive a little bit.
Let me look. Actually, that's a very good fucking point. Actually, no. Actually, tell a complete lie. The Suns and Gold Coast are is a fucking eight shaper. So
it's an eight shaper.
Oh my god, we got a beautiful buffet of football heading our way as we head into these final few rounds. It's gonna be
incredible.
And then
St Kilda, who are just fucking freewheeling out of control, like the season has fallen apart. They got North Melbourne, so they will be still in the eight at the end of next week.
Dude, they are the Titanic submersible of the AFL right now. Ross Lyon had a quote saying he needed one more preseason with them to kind of get them right.
To berate them properly.
Yeah, to kind of really look, now I get to now I kind of know their backgrounds, their family traits, who in their family they love dearly. Then I can really do research and target their weaknesses and faults.
So you know what I'm seeing is that if Gold Coast can roll the Giants and Western Bulldogs and Essendon are playing, is that Carlton could be in the eight at the end of next week.
Oh God. And when, so is that when the four horsemen of the apocalypse show up as well? Or have you?
Well, we got West Coast, but then we've got Collingwood the week after. So we will be back out of the eight the week after that.
Now, are we in the world of ladder predictor yet? Yes, we are.
Absolutely, yeah, no.
Oh, sick. So you've been,
I've been
you
doing
been
it since round two. I haven't actually had a look, you know, because I just figured we weren't going to make it. But now, mate, I just called it. I am the ladder predictor.
So. Well, call Caro. She's a predictor.
Now, can we talk about the shocking week that Jared Waitley has had?
Yeah. Dude. So there was a tweet that ran around. And I kind of give different points of view. So it was a tweet from a guy called James Durkin.
Mm.
And he put up a tweet. It had a picture of Jared Waitley and a quote. Often you'll see that. A quote from a picture of Abraham Lincoln, and it'll be like, you know, some quote. Or there's a lot of...
The internet is a terrible place.
The kind of memes, like a lot of Trump, kind of, then a quote that he never said, all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So he put up a shot, headshot of the broadcaster, and it said, Grind Myers is to the AFL, well, Lionel Messi is to soccer. Messi may kick more goals, but Myers scans the field just as well, maybe even better than Messi does. And he put that up, and look, that's pretty fun. That's kind of fun, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, it's kind of fun, but also you don't want bullshit attributed to you. So Jared came out and said, hey, I never said that, right?
Yeah.
So that's where he should have left it. And people go, oh, it's fake. I'm not even going to fucking bother, you know, getting in an argument with someone that Jared Waitley said it because you know it's fake.
Yep.
But Jared on his radio show and his Twitter, so he first went to Twitter and said, hey, this is fake, take it down. Then he went back like a few hours later and was like, hey, mate.
And then Elon didn't leave.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Something on Twitter is not real. And then the next morning he's like, hey, you haven't taken it down yet. And the guy responded to him. He's like, you still haven't taken it down. And then he's called on troll. He's got a tweet here that says, come on, trolls, do the right thing. Delete the fake quote. It's really quite simple. Come on, trolls, do the right thing. Oh. Does he know what the fuck a troll does? Like, come on, Jared. It's his first day on the internet.
Hey, come on, bank robber. Do the right thing.
Come on,
mate. Put the money back. That's very funny. It's the Streisand effect. You heard of that?
Yes.
Yeah, so essentially Barbara Streisand didn't want her house pictured on like Google Maps or something. And then it just made everybody more aware of where her house is. And so it's Jared.
Well, yeah, she tried to get him to take it down and people just went, oh, well, let's have a look at her house.
Yeah, and so Jared, Jared's kind of amplified. I think if he had his time again, I think he might have just ignored it and just moved on from there. But it is very funny.
But he asked his listeners, maybe you could take it up for me. Maybe you could reply to those who are posting it and tell them that it is just a fake quote.
Yeah, sure. So Trap from Woodend got right on board.
Yeah. Those are not my words, and those who are posting it should immediately delete it.
It's a bit funny.
Jared.
I mean, he's been around the internet game for a while, Jared, and so I found it a bit interesting that he's kind of getting this. And also by the fact that it was a dumb post, but it wasn't anything yucky.
Malicious.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't like, you know, Jared Waitley saying, oh, anyway, this chick and that chick and that chick and that chick. Like, it was like, you know, just a thing about Grind Myers.
It's just a dumb thing.
Yeah, it's just kind of goofy fun. And then it
leads I'm just disappointed we haven't heard from Robbo on this, because I reckon he would have had several good takes on what he would like to do to trolls. I imagine Robbo would be slightly aware of what trolling is if he's ever been online.
Trolling online, trolling at pokies, trolling at chicken shop.
The bottle-o, yeah.
Trolling
Robbo, you fucking idiot.
Trolling from cars, just driving by.
Yeah.
Milk in his tracky dacks.
Yeah.
Dude. Hey, Guards of Honour.
Okay, so we had a few of them on the weekend. Kane Corns has blown up, and he didn't like... There was one for an umpire who was in his 500th game.
Yep, Brett Rosebery. 500 games, though. Actually, do have to take your whistle off for that one, I reckon.
Yeah, it's impressive.
So let me give the tale of the tape for Brett. I think it's down here. A great article by Sarah Black right here. Having a chat. I think it's 9 grand finals.
Okay.
Including the replay. So we'll make it 8, okay?
Yeah.
3 All-Australian. 3 NAB Grand Finals. NAB Cup.
All right, stop there. Who gives a fuck who the All-Australian umpires? Oh, you were the umpire in a game that doesn't exist, were you?
Yeah.
What the fuck does that mean?
Imaginary umpire. It's like, yeah, it's kind of like a computer game umpire.
Yes, yeah. No one cares,
but,
mate.
But hey, the game didn't exist, but he had a perfect game that day. Like,
he did.
No,
he did really well.
I've talked to a lot of people. No one complains about the umpiring in the 2008, 9, and 11 Australian game.
Does he get, because I know the players get the green jacket.
I was about to say the same thing. Does he get a little jacket, or does he like get a gold whistle or something, or, you know?
Oh, no, he probably gets a jacket, but it'd be high vis.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're wearing green most of the time anyway, so he'd be like, well, I've already got, 25 green shirts. Like, why do I need more? But he was in the buddy match when he kicked 13. He was emergency umpire for the Demolition Derby over in WA a bunch of years ago. I think that might have even actually been his first game, I think.
My dad used to he would have spent a bit of time on the field then if he's the emergencies. Why they're alluding to that? Because when Dale Kickett went fucking berserk?
That's the day, yeah. My dad back in the day used to call them the spy. Because it was only, younger junk timers may not know this. I think it was only until like 1988, 89 that the emergency umpire could actually report someone. So there'd be a bit of biffo, and then the game would go on, and then you'd see the emergency umpire run out to tell these players, hey, calm it down, or even make a report. And then my dad would just be like, here comes the spy. was it the match where Libber whacked Matthew Knights, or was it the other way around? But actually, he does have the front row seat for like some amazing, amazing moments of football.
I mean, 500 games is quite a lot of abuse for anyone to put up with.
Yeah.
Like, imagine going to work every week and just fucking copping it for, what's 500? It's like 10 years of your life just getting absolutely fucking abused.
Oh, dude, it'd be more than that. 500 games, like that's 20-odd years.
Oh, no, this would be for us. Like, if we were, 500 weeks of your life.
Yeah, you come in on a Monday and the co-worker that you don't like just happens to be from Essendon. And he goes, you're good, I'm pouring the dickhead, mate. And how many times has he wanted to just... Okay, I would actually give Brett Roseberry a pass. I don't know what he does for a living, but I actually would give him a pass if one day there was a news headline saying Brett Roseberry shot up his office. And you go, I reckon that plays pretty well. So he got a guard of honour for the Collingwood Freo game. But then Kane Corns, and I think he actually made a good point. And he's, it's the volcano, it's the Sunday footy show, and he's, doing some of it tongue-in-cheek. But he was saying there's a pandemic of guards of honour. And I actually do agree with him. Like, now we're getting 200 games, 250 games. Back when I was in my prime, it was 300 games or nothing. And it wasn't even a guard of honour. It was, like, chaired off. But now I like the guard of honour. But now it's, like, blah, 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 blah. Like, 150 games. Like, what?
Oh, he was saying that Zach Tui got a guard of honour for being, playing the most Irish games. And it's like, well, fucking, what does that even mean? And also, you don't have to take your fucking kids through the banner.
Oh, BT. I didn't know BT's on the call here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, you're anti-kids in the banner. I'm anti-frivolous guards of honour.
Yep.
I think we got the makings of...
You know what? When you come off, you just have the DJ play a really cool set as you're leaving the ground, and that's enough to say, hey, well done.
Yeah, gotcha. I'm Adam Rosenbach. That's my take.
It is my take. Hey, I'll tell you, okay, so two things I noticed from the game over the weekend, and we'll wrap it up very shortly, Junk Timers, because we have no footballers in real life. It must be that time of year.
Before we do that, how about our live show, Sunday, September 3, at the Morris House? It's going to be nuts, it's going to be sick, and guests are going to be coming. They're going to be awesome, and they're always awesome.
Yes, it is. Shows at 4 o'clock, tickets available at trybooking.com. One thing that I've noticed that has gone out of our game? No one wears gloves anymore. Remember when it became like a big thing?
The glove. Oh, I feel a bit of a affection for the glove back in the day.
Yeah. I reckon it was Jim Steins who maybe first kind of wore the glove. Like occasionally you'd see a player maybe if they've dislocated a finger quite badly, they might sport a glove. But Steins, he wore one. Travis Cloak was a big glove man.
Well, he famously wore one that basically meant you could catch the ball with one hand.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, I think even Hutchie on the Sunday footy show wore that glove, and like they threw a soccer ball at him and he could grab it with one hand. Like, oh, it was highly illegal. Like, it was basically having, you know, super glue on your hand.
So an asterisk on the 2010 grand final is what I'm hearing.
I've made that petition to the AFL and I'm waiting to hear back from Gill and Andrew Dillon. I can't remember seeing a glove for a long time because I feel like then also there was a little bit of like, wear a glove and we'll give you some cash.
Oh, okay. Like a bit of a sponsorship deal with Nike.
I feel like Ablett might have been a sponsorship deal, but then I also imagine it probably filtered down into the other ends of the game as well. So you kind of go, well, if I give Ablett 20 grand, then I'm going to sell a bunch of, you know, other players all around the country gloves.
Yes. Yeah, okay. So that was one thing I noticed. And then the other thing I saw at the in the Sydney Bulldogs game on Thursday night up at the SCG, up at Rod Carter Studios, was they had someone in the crowd who had like a – it wasn't a hand-drawn sign. It was clearly one that they'd been handed or, you know, it was professionally kind of done. But it just had – and I haven't heard this phrase in a long time – but Chewy on your boot.
Chewy on your boot. Wow.
Was written on there. And I just wondered, like, when did Chewy come in and why was it so bad on your boot?
we ask the big questions.
We ask the big questions.
Here at the Junk Time Alpha podcast. Actually, can I just very quickly type in Chewy on your boot and just see what happens?
What comes up?
Yeah.
Because I imagine most times if you had Chewy on your football boot, you would probably not notice it. And for someone else to call it out when it is on your boot probably wouldn't put you off as badly as – unless, like, you know when teams have Chewy before the game and the whole team dropped all their Chewy in one spot and you had 22 players worth of Chewy on your boot, but I reckon you'd be aware of that.
I'm actually looking more for the origins of it by the fact that I feel like Chewy is not a particularly old thing. Like, I can't imagine the diggers at Gallipoli having chewing gum.
I wouldn't have thought so. I would have thought Chewy... I reckon, to me, it just feels like it was created in, like, the 40s or the 50s, you know? Mm. So then maybe it was, like, a big thing, you know? Fucking...
And then also,
you're a peasant who had Chewy on your boot.
If you would have been playing in those mud pits back then, so if you had Chewy on your boot, like you'd be like, well, that's the third worst thing that's on my shoe.
Yeah, that's the fucking least of my problems.
I can't find any origin story for it, but we'll look forward. I do remember the Brisbane Bears scoreboard would often put Chewy on your boot when the opposition team was lining up for the goal.
Yeah, okay. And, you know, as a kid, it was always a thing that we said, you know, Chewy on your boot. So it came, obviously, before our generation.
Yeah,
but
why?
Why did it bother people so much? Were people just, like, missing goals? Like, did they invent Chewy to put John Coleman off? You know,
this could be an investigation into the racketeering in football. We need to talk to, we need to talk to Big Chewy.
Yeah, we do.
And I cap off the Brisbane Bears scoreboard also when Russell Morris got knocked out by Jim Edmonds with an elbow to the head and was literally unconscious for a long time. The Brisbane Bears scoreboard also put up, cop that.
They were better times. They were better times.
That's why.
And I'm sure when Russell Morris came to, he appreciated that.
That's why we just had replays. Hey, actually, got a reply here from Broden Kelly. Arden Canada, I wrote, hey, did you actually really leave early on Friday? And he wrote back, yes. So that there is a true story. Bloody hell.
So, Junk Times, if you have stories of you leaving early, please feel free to send them in. Michael, where can they send them?
JunkTimeOfAPod at Gmail. We are JunkTimeOfAPod at Facebook and Twitter and the Gram. Go Hawks.
And go Blues. Really, like, really, go Blues.